Well, welcome to At the Movies. This is Creed Week. Confession, I was a little confused by this movie at first. I thought it was about the band Creed, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense at all, until I realized this is Rocky VII. Anyone grow up with Rocky like I did? I grew up watching Rocky movies. Do we have anyone here who has actually run the Rocky Steps in Philadelphia? Anyone done that? I'm surprised. We're pretty close to Philadelphia. Rocky, I think, brought some fantastic opponents to us on the screen. Rocky versus Apollo Creed, if you remember. I was like a little kid when the first one came out, believe it or not. And I think he lost to Apollo Creed in Rocky I, in Rocky II, but he went the distance. But in Rocky II, I'll keep doing a really bad impression. I just can't stop myself. But I think he won in Rocky II, and then Rocky III. See, I remember this one. Brought us Mr. T, or Clubber Lang, as he was known in Rocky III. And then sort of, I remember, like, Mr. T went everywhere after that. You know, he was in the A-team. And so, Rocky, thank you for Mr. T. I pity the fool who doesn't know him. He was amazing. And then, remember this? I don't know if you do, but I actually saw Rocky IV in the theater. And Ivan Drago, he was the best opponent of all. That dude was so huge. And I remember Rocky running around, like, with a log on his shoulders. And I, honest memory, I think we chanted USA, USA at the end of Rocky IV when Rocky won. You know, it was like, we finally got those commies. You know, it was pretty crazy in like 1985 when Rocky defeated Ivan, who killed Apollo Creed in the earlier point of the movie. But anyway, Creed is a different kind of movie, and there's a couple reasons for that. This is the seventh of the Rocky movies, but this is the first film in the series that wasn't actually written by Sylvester Stallone. It's kind of interesting because Sylvester Stallone said, I could still play Rocky, but I don't think I could write Rocky in 2015 because I think things have changed so much. He actually chose to have someone else write it, and I honestly think they did a great job. I actually like this movie, and I think that was a good choice because it felt, even though it's such an old series, it felt very today. And that's one thing I want to tell you about why we do At the Movies every year, even though I threaten not to, is the idea that of this series is not just, hey, we get to talk about movies, because truthfully, we have movie clips all the time on the screen. But I think the thing that's so helpful about current movies is that it kind of just pinpoints where we are at as a culture and as a nation. And it allows us to talk about things that we might not talk about, but the things that are very current. And then what we do, and what my hope is that we kind of go back and tie biblical truth into these very modern situations. And there's just a lot of that in this thing that, in fact, there's probably like a series worth of sermons that you could preach about this film, because there's so many sort of good themes and good tensions. Like, I was thinking about this whole thing in the story of Creed is Apollo Creed's, if you didn't see the movie, Creed is the Apollo Creed's illegitimate son. Apollo Creed actually had an affair in the story with a woman named Johnson. Her last name was Johnson. He died soon after, so Adonis never knew his father. And as you enter the movie, if you enter Creed, if you've seen it, it starts out with him in a group home. His mom is dead. His dad is dead. He's in a group home. He's been in many foster homes. He's fighting even then, you know, like taking on all these other larger kids. And it's just a really, you could tell, just a really, really tough situation. And later we find that Apollo Creed's wife comes, and it's such a beautiful story, actually, how she sort of adopts him and takes him in. And when we see the first part of the clip that you saw, where he's entering the gates of this gated mansion, he's living with her. He's obviously well educated at this point. He's out of college. He's got this great job. He just got the new promotion. And then sort of the tension is that he quits that job, obviously against her wishes, to become a full-time boxer. But this idea of family background, I think, is something that, man, whew, I know all of us can relate to, because we all have sort of that background. It might not be a father who's gone, but it could be, or a mother who's gone, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's like in the story of Creed, he's sort of always kind of running away from the shadow of his father. So all of us can sort of relate, no matter how, like, to this idea that our family background matters. The things that were done before even we were born matter, like what kind of situation we come from. Maybe we come from a broken home, or maybe we've got three or four dads or moms, and it's sort of our stepbrothers and sisters, or, hey, my dad was really successful, or my dad wasn't successful, or, hey, my mom, and it's just all of those stories that affect our life, this idea of legacy that runs throughout Creed. I think all of us could sort of feel that tension, and if I had time and you wanted to, like, you could grab this mic and probably tell me some really tough stories or really great stories about your family background. And that's one reason I love this story of Creed. And then there's the whole point of this thing that feels very 2016, this thought of his economic background. Because here, Adonis Creed is the son of a famous, you know, boxing champion. But we find him very poor at the first of the movie, living in a group home. And it's interesting to me, too, kind of the juxtaposition of that with him living in the gated mansion. And both things affect him, because as he goes into the boxing gym, no one takes him seriously because they call him Hollywood, because he grew up in a mansion. And he's always talking about, hey, I grew up in a group home, where were you? And so sort of both things, you can find, like, his lack of finances growing up and the wealth that he was sort of adopted into, both of those things, you could tell, just affected him. And that's true of us, like how we were raised and sort of the financial situation that we came out of puts an imprint on all of us. And so that's a sort of an interesting thing to talk about this morning, to think about, and something that we could probably all relate to. And then there's, oh my goodness, in 2016, this thought of, you know, the ethnicity. I can't say that. Race and ethnicity, I can't say it. I don't know why I made Kate change it earlier. I was like, let's not say race 2016, because it seems like the whole presidential thing I don't want to talk about, but let's do ethnicity, and then I can't say it. But that's something we could certainly, that tension is really sort of real, and I love this. It's a great moment in the movie when this young African-American man, Donnie, is calling the old white guy Unc in a friendly way. I love that. I'm like, this is a cool thing we could talk about, because within the boxing world, like all the different races working together towards this common goal, and I thought, well, that's good. But then there's also another thing that we could talk about this morning, is this whole idea of why he even fought. And I know if you're not a boxing fan, I'm not really a boxing fan, even though it does, Josiah's right, I've been talking about punching people for, I'm a little angry, obviously, for weeks. But it's pretty amazing to think, like, why would, I know this is a movie, but just the story is real in the sense that you go, why would a young man who's well-educated, now has a great background, lives in a gated mansion, and has great opportunity, it shows at the beginning, like, his career is taking off, he's got this brand new promotion, leave that to go get his face knocked in, you know? Why go get your face messed up and get a concussion? I mean, why would you do that? But there's something about that, that it's not just about boxing, it's about all of us, isn't it? Like, why do we have this fight within us? And I don't mean, like, that you're gonna go quit your job and become a boxer. I don't recommend it, actually. But there's a fight, I think, in all of us. And you might call it passion or mission or sort of purpose. But there's this thing in Adonis Creed that he can't really explain, like, why would he do that? Why would he go to, at the first of the movie, he's going to Mexico and fighting in these sort of barroom boxing matches and getting all beat up on the weekend for pesos, like no money. Like, why would you do that? And it's different for all of us. There's something in you. There's something in most of you. Maybe you haven't developed it yet or felt it yet, but I would guarantee you, if we started talking, most of us would say there's a fight in us. There's something that sort of makes us angry that we have to fix. For me, I'll tell you what mine is, and it's weird. It's the same thing. It's like, I am so certain in my heart. I'm like, man, I think God has the answer for everything. I think the Bible is filled with these amazing truths, and I want people to know about them. And it makes no sense. Like, I'm a guy who paints houses for a living, and I never went to seminary, but that's my fight. That's why I come up here every week. You know, I've had a few weeks off, and you can tell, man, I'm punching hard now. I'm like a little rested up. But my whole deal for the last, you know, decade has been, I want to tell people that. I want to point people to the truth in the Bible. That's my fight. Sometimes it makes no sense. It doesn't make any money. I get pesos occasionally. But it's amazing because that's my fight. And that's not the only fight. Like, some of you are, like, your fight is beauty. Like, I know we have designers here, and I love, you talk to a designer like Josiah or Kate or any of the guys, you're like, they're so concerned about something I can't even see, and they're like, it's not right yet. But that's because in them there's this fight toward beauty. And musicians are the same way. Like, they hear something we don't do, and they'll go play gig after gig at night when it makes no sense. But that's their fight. And some of you, it's like your fight is like, I want second graders to learn grammar, and I don't understand that. But thank God we have teachers, and we have moms, and we have welders, and we have every sort. Your fight is something that you can't stop doing, whether it pays, whether it doesn't pay, whether people like it or they don't like it, whether your friends understand or they don't understand. And that's an interesting thing to talk about. Like, why would this young man choose this fight? And now, I think those are all good topics, but we're not going to talk about any of them. here's why, though. Here's why. Because this is Action Church, and I want to leave you with sort of an action statement. And the truth is, we can't really do anything about any of those issues, even though they're part of our world. I mean, think about this. Like, you can't choose your family, right? Like, I didn't choose my family. Like, yeah, I'd probably like to be one of seven, a lot of mental illness, and, you know, it's like, that's what I'm looking for. You know, poor, that's what I'm looking for. You know, I want to be raised in the Midwest by a large family. Preacher said, none of us chose our family. You know, we have these family backgrounds, and some of it's great. You know, we have legacies that we live up to, but not a single one of us chose your family legacy. And truth is, same thing, you didn't choose your economic background. Whether you grew up with a lot or you grew up with nothing, not a single one of us chose that, right? Like, otherwise we would have chose rich. That would have been awesome. You know, like, nobody comes from a background and you're like, well, why didn't you just choose to grow up in a family that had more money? You didn't get to choose. So as much as those things matter, like, because you go, well, I would have went to a different college, or I would have got a start, or you can't do anything about any of those things. And truth is, you didn't pick your skin color. As much as we talk about skin color, as much as we talk about that in 2016, not a single one of us chose our skin color. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm a white guy, old white guy with decent credit, which turns out is not very popular right now. But here's the thing about that. I didn't choose. You know, like, yes, extra white God, like, I want you to be able to see my bones. Like, I can't even walk outside without turning pink. I didn't choose that, and you didn't choose yours either. So as much as we sort of make that such a big deal now, not a single person that you come across chose that, and so there's not a lot we can do about that. And the truth is, I don't even think that you chose your fight. In fact, I know Adonis didn't choose his fight. He didn't choose to be born the son of Apollo Creed. He didn't choose to sort of have that desire to be a champion, even when it made no sense. And the truth is, you guys have passions and you guys have drives, and some of you haven't even, like, admitted yet, like, what you were born to do, because it seems so like, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't even want to tell. I remember the day I told people, like, I'm going to become a preacher, and the first person I told laughed. They thought it was a joke. You know, like, I think I'm good. You know, and some of you are like, they were right. But here's the thing, like, there's stuff in you. There's a fight in you that you did not choose. There's a purpose in you, and it's the best thing you can do with your life. I'm convinced of it. And I'm not talking about it's the most successful, the best paying. You know, you may not get cheers for it, but if you do that thing, just like Adonis Creed did, it's the thing you were born to do, but you didn't choose it. And so of all those things, they're all great things to talk about. And, like, I think I could make a good sermon out of it. Well, an okay sermon, because it's me, but, like, I could do something with every one of those things, but in the end, I'd go, hey, you didn't pick that. So I was thinking, like, what is the one thing, this one sort of theme in this film of something that Adonis did choose? And he did very well, actually. I was thinking about this. Like, he was persistent about this one thing. And I'll give you a hint, if you're wondering what it is, it's something to do with Rocky. It's where actually Rocky comes in, because if you think about it, if you haven't seen the film, I'll tell you, but if you have seen the film, think about it. Like, one thing that Adonis did again and again and again and again is he pursued Rocky to be his trainer. Even in the clip we just saw, he pursued the other guy to be, I know, it'd been great if I knew his name, but the other guy to be his trainer. He was looking for trainers, looking for someone to mentor him. And it was interesting, like, I think, you know, if you want to find a way to get a job, follow this movie. Like, I think Adonis did a great job of this. Like, he would show up at Rocky's restaurant, and he would show up when Rocky was unloading the truck, which is always helpful. And he would work for free, you know, like, think about it, sort of an internship. Like, he literally would show up, ask Rocky questions, go, hey, can you just give me tips? I know you don't want to train me. But I just wanted, you know, and then he would unload the truck, and Rocky's always like, I could do that. But anyway, I told you, it's a horrible, and he even said at one point, my favorite line, he's sort of a woodpecker, so, and I'm like, that's not even very nice, Rocky, but that's what he called him. But he kept bugging Rocky, like, train me, train me, train me. When he said no, he was like, I'll take notes. Can you give me some notes that I could do on my own? And he just kept pursuing him, and finally, one day, and I want to show you this clip of one day, Rocky shows up at the gym where Adonis is working out. And I just love this scene, and I wanted to share it with you. See, that's the question I have for you that I want to just spend a few minutes talking to you about this morning. Who is it that's in your corner? You know, the whole sort of point of Creed throughout the movie was sort of pursuing Rocky and developing a team around him so that he could pursue his fight. And I'll be honest, I've always told you I'm not a sport guy. I don't even understand boxing, because for apparently what you need in your corner is you need a coach, which I understand. Rocky would be awesome because he's been there before. And then you need a guy to hold your spit bucket, which seems helpful, but I, and then a guy who, I don't know, works on your cuts, because I remember Rocky said this is the best cut man in Philadelphia. So I'm not being literal that you need a cut man and a guy to follow you around to spit in a bucket, or even the guy to hold the concentration pad so you can punch them. But who is in your corner? Like, are there people in your lives that are sort of helping you win your fight, you're on your mission, on sort of your passion, that thing that you were created to do, that you feel it? And I first of all, I'm not talking to just Christians this morning. You don't have to be a Jesus person or a Bible person. You don't have to be a church person. You don't have to buy into any of this, but let's just think, and I want to share with you like some wisdom, ancient wisdom. This stuff I think is helpful because, like, we all have this fight within us. We all have this passion, this thing that we're going for. And the question is, like, who's helping you toward that? Like, who is moving you toward that? Who is telling you the truth? Like, I mean, you think about that. There were lots of good people in his life that couldn't help him become a boxing champion. Like, Apollo Creed's wife, I love the story of her in this, because she accepts this illegitimate son of her dead husband into her home, treats him like a mother, just honestly such a beautiful character and such a beautiful picture of forgiveness and love. But she is not a help for him when it comes to being a boxing champion. And guys, I will tell you this morning, like, there are people in your life that you will love, and they love you, and your friends and your family, and they're not necessarily in your corner to help you move on to that thing that you're called and born and created to do. And so who is it that's in your corner? I want to share with you like some wisdom, some really old wisdom, like 6,000-year-old wisdom from a guy named Solomon, who we believe was like the most wise king, the most wise person who ever lived. And just listen to these words, because they sound so today. He said, wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. So you get... there's no free lunch. Like, you can't get something for nothing. Just like Rocky said, you're going to have to work hard. But then there's something else here. It's so important. He said, fools think their own way is right, But the wise listen to others. I would say it this way. Foolish people don't know they're foolish people. They just listen to themselves. I mean, we all do that. Think about that time we're like, I knew that's the way to go, and it turned out horribly. And that's what Solomon says. I want to read this to you because, oh, this is, I think, very valuable. He says, foolishness brings joy to those with no sense, meaning you don't know what you don't know. I mean, have you ever friends like that? I think I have a couple friends like that. Like, they're happy as can be up until the moment when that thing that you saw coming a mile away hits them, because there's a lot of people like, they don't know what they don't know, and we're all like that to some. But it says a sensible person, listen to this, stays on the right path. But think about this when it comes to who is it that's in your corner? Like, who is it? Who's on your team? Who is speaking truth to you when you need to hear it? Because this says, plans go wrong for lack of advice, and many advisors bring success. I mean, think about it. Like, successful fighters never walk into the ring alone. Successful business people, successful candidates have good advisors around them. Success in every area, every fight you can imagine, doesn't come like, I love what Adonis was honest. He said, every punch I've thrown up to this point, like, I taught myself, but he knew that wasn't going to make him a champion boxer. So that's my question, kind of again, of who is it that's in your corner? Adonis had friends. He had a girlfriend. He had people who cared about him, people he liked, people he hung out with. But you notice that when it came time to be successful in his fight, to be better, they weren't the people training him. And let me just say this to you, man, and especially like teenagers and young people, like, when you ask your friends for advice, that's okay, but realize they know exactly what you know. They've had the same life experience. This is not just an old guy speaking. This is like, you need advisors because I needed advisors. We all do. And I know your parents aren't very smart right now if you're a teenager. Like, they got so dumb for some reason. I get that. But like, there are people who are older that you need to listen to just because they've lived so much longer. And so if you're just listening to your friends, they know exactly what you know, which is not a lot, or you wouldn't be asking. And that's what this is about. Now, that works, and that's true. I don't care what field you're going into. I think that's just like good advice across the board, even if you're, as I said, you're not a Christian. But now let me talk to Christians, people who are followers of Jesus. We had a baptism last week, and it was great to see people go public with that faith and go, I am a follower of Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus, let me tell you something about yourself. You have a fight as well. And even though our fight, if we want to use that metaphor, like, you don't have the same fight as me, you're not like wanting to yell at people about the Bible like I do every week. Thankfully, it would get really crowded up here if that was everyone's fight. But here's the thing, like, you have something in you like that. And that's what I love about Action Church, and I love about church, is the fact that we have so many different sort of passions and so many different sort of missions and personal fights. But together, we come together as Christians, and we have one big fight, which is to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that we're not even just fighting against things that we could see. He called them, you know, spiritual beings, which is kind of freaky to think about, but it's true. It's like, there are things that we can't even see, and our fight is to fight against them and be part of God's kingdom and stay the course and win the prize. And so let me read this for Christians here, because I want you to think about this. Enthusiasm, this is from Proverbs as well. I love, we could have done so many scriptures today throughout the Bible about this idea of who is in your corner, like, what advice do you take? But I love this one. Enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. And haste makes mistakes. I mean, we all know that, right? Like, we all know that we can have, like, great enthusiasm for that new sport and just murder ourselves. But enthusiasm without knowledge is no good, and haste makes mistakes. And then these words, and I've read this chapter so many times, and I didn't know this from the Bible, and I'm like, oh, yes, this is true. People ruin their lives with their own foolishness. And then they're angry at the Lord. Isn't that true? Like, I don't know about you, but I've shaken my fist at God and gone, why would you allow this to happen? And I've violated every principle that he made along the way. And we all do that. I hear the stories because you come tell me. You go, hey, what do you think I should do about that? Well, not that, because, and that's what we all do. Listen to this. This is good also. Get all the advice. And I want you to think, these words that I'm reading to you came from a guy that we believe was the wisest person on the planet at the time. Yet he's saying, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. And then he says these words, which, oh man, I know to be true in my life. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That's the thing about being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, that makes it a little different than just sort of this idea, which I think is great advice to go, hey, get advice from people you can trust. Hey, you need people in your corner. You need someone who's been there before, just like Adonis needed Rocky, who had been a champion, to teach him how to be a champion. I think that's true in business. I think that's true in school. I think that's true in sports. I think there's a lot of great, but there's something even different that happens if you're a follower of Christ, because the truth is you realize then that even though we can plan and even though we can prepare, Matt preached about, you know, first part of last month, and he talked about this idea that we, you know, pray like it all depends on God's and work God and work like it depends on us. That's sort of the tension that we live with, because in the end, even though we plan, even though we do our best, even though we work hard, God's plan will prevail, and it should, because he knows more than us. So once again, I was just thinking, like, if you're a Christian this morning, who is it in your corner? Like, who do you go, well, those folks, they're guiding me. Those folks, they're helping me. In fact, they tell me the truth, because that's the thing about being in the gym, isn't it? In the story of Creed and in life, you know, like in a boxing gym, you will get knocked out by people helping you. Like, you're not going to, it's not going to be easy, because there's going to be some realities coming toward your face, and you're going to have to work hard, and nobody's going to sort of, it's not like your friends will go, hey, you're the greatest, your girlfriend, hey, you're the greatest. People in the gym will tell you the truth. And Rocky, whew, he was tough in that. And so I was thinking, like, in this question, like, I'm not an educated man, but I am a thinker. I was like, it would be cool if there was like a place, sort of like a boxing gym, you know, I was like, for Christians. I don't know, think about, just follow me with this. I was like, you know, it wouldn't probably need like heavy bags and speed bags, because we probably wouldn't do a lot of punching. Maybe a little. But I was trying to think, like, you know, this whole fight of being a Christian, and it is a fight, isn't it? Because sort of like every other morning, at least, I wake up and everything in my body is going, don't do that. Like, just live for yourself, dude. It'd be so much easier. Like, don't it? You know, it's like I don't wake up going, praise Jesus some mornings. I'm just like, it's a fight to follow Christ. And I was thinking, like, man, we almost need a place that we would gather. And I don't know, maybe once a week. No, I don't know when we do it. Maybe Sunday morning or something. I don't know. But like, there's not much on TV on Sunday morning early before football or NASCAR. So I was thinking, like, once a week, maybe twice. Maybe we'd have another event once in a while. But like, I know this probably wouldn't work. But I'm just think with me. Like, we had this place and we came together. And we sort of like encouraged each other, you know, like, hey, keep in the fight. And we could be honest with each other. And we could sort of work this Christianity thing out together. And I know this would never work. I don't know what kind of building you would need. Maybe like an old nightclub or something. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I'm spitballing here. Maybe you'd rent a theater. I know that's weird. I don't know. But like, I was thinking, like, what if there was a place that we could kind of gather together, and sort of all of us are in this one fight together, like, to follow Christ, which is not easy. Like, and yes, it wouldn't be everything. Like, Adonis can't just go to the gym once a week or even once a day and go, well, now I'm a championship boxer. He had to run. He had to work out. He's, like, running steps all the time. There's that one point where he's running through the streets of Philadelphia, and I've been really lazy about running lately. I just hate running lately. I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting older, fatter. But anyway, I'm going to try his method, which apparently he just went into the streets of Philadelphia and angered some local youth to chase him on ATV. So I'm thinking that would be really effective for me. I'm going to try that later. But like, you have to do things outside. Your mileage may vary, but you have to do things outside the gym. But what if we could come together? And then I was like, oh, I thought of this thing I was going to share with you. And then I was like, oh, crap, it's already in the Bible. So anyway, let me read this to you. Apparently someone else thought of this thing called church. And it just said, let us hold tightly without wavering to this hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted. Oh, this is true, I know from my life, to keep his promise. And let us think of ways. This is like the boxing gym and creed. Like, let us think of ways to motivate one another, not to go bash someone's face in, but to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. This is the best argument I can give you why you should come here. Like, well, I could watch a good, much better preacher online, or I could listen to a podcast, or hey, you know, I don't have to get up. Well, this is the best reason I can tell you need to come to these meetings, because don't neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. It's not about me preaching as much as us gathering together to encourage each other and to kick each other in the butt occasionally. And he said, encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I want the band to come back up here. But I have one more thing for you. Because this could sound like to you this morning that I'm basically saying, hey, you young people, you need to get a mentor. Or hey, you new Christians, boy, you need some older Christians. You need to pursue that. But let me just tell you this, and I want to speak to you older Christians, and I'm not talking about just chronologically, but people who've been in this faith for a while. Man, we all need someone in our corner. One of the toughest things to see at the end of sort of throughout the movie of Creed, and spoiler alert, but hey, I spoil every movie you're going to see, but that Rocky's battle was he had cancer, and he really honestly didn't want to live at the first of the movie, but because of Adonis, sort of inspired him that there was more to his life, even though he'd sort of given up. And I will tell you older Christians and people who have had been in this faith longer, you need younger Christians. You need to talk to them. I'm inspired by younger Christians. I was just telling someone last week, I kind of pulled them aside and go, you guys remind me of Michelle and I like 27 years ago, because you're in that same place and you have no idea like what God can do. And it inspired me, like baptizing people last week inspired me to see little kids and older kids and older men like going forward in life, like we need each other. So I want to pray with you. And I just want to leave you with this question. Like, if you're going to make it as a Christian, and I have to say like Rocky did, like, I'm not sure everyone will. I see people turn away all the time. Like, people I thought, oh, they got it, and then they just sort of walk away. And I don't think it's because they're bad. I don't think it's because, oh, they're weak. I think it's because they don't have anyone in their corner. And so think about this. Like, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to have to work really hard. But this church thing, this is about having someone else in your corner with you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to follow you. Thank you for your love and mercy toward us as sinners. God, thank you that we have a very, very famous Father in heaven. But God, I know that we still have so much work to do and so much fight here on earth to make it to the end. God, help this church to be a place not where we just come and listen to a sermon or eat a donut or hear some great music. God, let this be a place where we develop corners of people, where we spur each other on to acts of good works. Lord, where we're tough on each other but love each other enough to go, hey, where are you at in this? And God, I pray that older people in the faith would reach out to younger people. And God, I pray that younger people would pursue older mentors. In your name we pray. Amen.